Thomas, we'll talk a little bit about Nikola Tesla, and then we'll get into bioelectromagnetic healing as well. Tell me about your fascination with Tesla.
Oh, Tesla is a real hero of mine. And in fact, one of the interesting quotes that he has is that someday we'll have to stop using fuel for the sake of our future generations. And if we use fuel for our power, we're living on capital, exhausting it. The method is barbarous and wantonly wasteful. So he really had some profound statements that even to this day have rung true. And he also predicted zero-point energy, which I find also very amazing. He measured the Earth's Schumann resonance, which is called Schumann because in the 1950s, Schumann actually measured the 8th cycles per second resonant frequency of the Earth. It just happens to be the same frequency of our brain when it goes into alpha rhythm. No small coincidence, we've evolved into that Earth electromagnetic field as well. But also, what's interesting is that Tesla worked on the wireless transmission of power. Our institute had a Tesla conference in 2003 commemorating the 1903 Wardenclyffe Tower building that was supposed to, and still can, project power-level electromagnetics fields throughout the world.
This was sending out free energy, basically, wasn't it?
Well, no, and that is a common misconception.
Really? People, okay,
yeah, people have elevated Tesla to the point of the free energy conception, and I have to lower his image a little bit because we're still talking about grid energy powering that Tesla coil that's in the Wardenclyffe Tower. And at the 2003 conference, the Tesla conference that we had, it was Dr. Jim Quorum, Professor Emeritus from the University of West Virginia, that explained, who I had seen several times at Tesla conferences explaining, the fundamental nature of that pulsing of the Earth ionosphere cavity and how it's over 95% efficient. Because you're resonating with what the Earth likes to see rather than 60 cycles, a transverse wave. This is a longitudinal type wave. So it's still being powered by some standard source, which hopefully is solar energy or at least something that's fuelless. But the important part is it compares very favorably to what we use now. And keep in mind that it was good old J.P. Morgan that said, well, I can't put a meter on it, so I'm not going to fund it, when Tesla went back to ask for more money to finish the Wardenclyffe Tower. But see, today's transmission is really very inefficient. We're now losing two-thirds of all the electricity that we transmit.
Generate,
That we generate. And this is gigawatts. The atmosphere contains it. And this is another area that certainly if we're including atmospheric electricity and also the Earth's magnetic energy, which Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher contributed to my book, Harnessing the Wheelwork of Nature.
That tower was, what, a little less than 200 feet?
Yes, 187 feet, I believe it is. But what I was going to say, at least in favor of what you just said, was that Rauscher believes that there is enough atmospheric and magnetic energy to supplement the transmission through the Earth ionosphere cavity. So the ringing of the Earth would basically accentuate that release of energy. So there are, I would say, people on both sides of the fence, whether we're going to get free energy out of it or not. But I try to take a conservative attitude to a lot of these theories and at least look for the provable parts that are worth promoting. And certainly that the wireless transmission is a much more favorable one. And it's where we're already evolving. I mean, cell phones have become really popular. There's all kinds of wireless things now that we're looking forward to stop having that umbilical cord. You know, J.P. Morgan forced us to have an umbilical cord on our homes and on every appliance that we use just so he could collect money from us.
Do you believe that when Tesla was testing the tower, that he may have created that explosion over Siberia in Tunguska?
No, actually, I don't, and I've seen
some people have said that, though.
Oh, absolutely. No. There's quite a bit of proof of the fact that it probably was a comet, or at least a meteor that came in at a glancing angle, because you've got such a spread of the trees that fell in a butterfly pattern that we can't attribute it to just a random explosion. This was definitely a very, a glancing angle into the atmosphere with a big enough projectile that it survived and then exploded in the lower atmosphere. But Tesla still was working on the death ray and many other things, too, so you can give him credit for some of those destructive tendencies. But of course, he also did venture into the electromagnetic therapy area. And this is what George Van Tassel was interested in, and also even therapy-wise, many doctors, like Dr. Tusi, for example. In fact, you may not know that as we get into the electromagnetic area, the Electrotherapeutic American, Electrotherapeutic Association, held yearly conferences around the turn of the century.
Well, I got to tell you, he was a genius. How would you compare him to Thomas Edison?
Well, it's like
they're rivals, weren't they?
Yep. It's AC versus DC, and the wars. There's books on the AC-DC wars, and that literally was what Edison rose the confrontation to. It was a battle, legal battle. I mean, Edison went to the extent of the Pan American Exposition of stopping Tesla and Westinghouse from using Edison's light bulb. And so Tesla, in a matter of months, had to reinvent the incandescent light bulb to be able to use hundreds of them, maybe thousands, at the Pan American Exposition. So Edison was brutal. Even when it came to winning the distribution rights for Niagara Falls, right where I grew up, you see that Tesla was still getting the glory. And Edison felt slighted. So what happened to his New York lab while Tesla's in Niagara Falls? New York lab starts on fire for no good reason. So it's a very questionable fire, especially at that moment when the Edison and the GE were basically suffering from the lack of popularity. The direct current can't go very far, and even to this day we can't transmit direct current. So until we have superconductive wires, which someday we will at room temperature, we still have to rely upon alternating current.
Now, when Tesla died, is it true that his office or his home was raided and all his papers were taken?
Yes. I have to agree that that's true. And the FBI had a file on him. You can actually request the FBI file. It's been mostly declassified now.
Do you think raided his home or office?
Well, most biographies describe the fact that the FBI was there very quickly. And this is unfortunate because a lot of his materials were very interesting. In the back of my Harnessing the Wheelwork of Nature book, I actually have some of the FBI documents on Tesla. And it's interesting because as you look through the pages, many of them are redacted, with black marks on them.
I guess it was legitimately national security, wasn't it, when he died?
Yeah.
I mean, if his plans and notes had gotten into the wrong hands, it could have been a disaster.
Well, that's what the FBI believed at the time, and really, some of these documents describe, they're internal FBI documents. Some of them describing the standing scientists in the electric field and Tesla's at the highest one and. Conducted many experiments, intensely disliked, and so they had a lot of controversial remarks about Tesla and also the importance of preserving his technology.
Well, and then again, one could say that they also thought that they didn't want anybody to be able to develop free or low-cost energy, so they decided to bury the plans.
Well, yes, and in fact, I'm looking at one of the documents on page 298 of my book, and it's from Mr. Karen. Clarence Kelly, who was the director of FBI, and at the very bottom of this letter, it describes the fact that at any rate, there are three possible military applications of Tesla's technologies. So they kept that classified, and many others describing what the applications could be, but. As I say, I really like to turn the conversations like this to things that are favorable, people can use. And
I agree.
Yeah, and not get too much worried about what the government's been doing over the past 50 years.
Yeah, but you got to do it with that kind of an eye as well. I mean, we can't be naive about the fact that there are groups out there that just want to continue to put us down and profit and manipulate. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've got these high oil prices right now. If we had this kind of technology available or the zero point that you talked about last hour, we wouldn't have the problems we have today.
Well, that's absolutely true. And in fact, I went to the Library of Congress to view the first national energy plan. Back in 1976 or so, and it was fascinating to describe, to see how they describe the solution of the oil dependency, which we had back then, right after the oil embargo, and many of those plans were implemented with good congressional appropriations, but then of course Reagan stopped many of them, including the biofuel or the synfuel project that was started. But we were the first ones to invent the Sandy Labs, I believe it was, the concentrated solar. And then, of course, other parts of the world became the recipients of that technology because we didn't follow through with it to actually use it. So we've had our chance. We've really had our chance to become independent, energy independent. And instead, big business has been lobbying Congress for decades very successfully because they have lots of money to do so and congressional people are very receptive to lots of favors. And, of course, that's how Washington, D.C. runs. Pat on the back and gets another favor later down the road. And we've seen it in the past 8 years of our administration, which I don't want to get too much into politics, but it's time for a change. And, of course, we're looking forward to the fact that maybe we'll see a solution to the problem because there's a lot of motivation now since we're in the spotlight.
If you were the energy czar, you had a blank check, what would you do? What kind of changes would you implement?
Oh, we definitely would start to implement conventional alternative energy implementation immediately. The standard portfolio of renewables is barely 10% in a handful of states across the nation. And the rest of the world is 20% renewables in their energy portfolio. So to be a leader, the United States should pick 30% as a goal, and then at least have a implementation state by state to the 20% region that will let us catch up to the rest of the world. But see, for example, wind energy and even solar has depended upon government subsidies to really be competitive as their technology becomes more efficient. And solar is becoming more efficient. I have one of the Future Energy News proving that there's four major breakthroughs that solar has created.
Well, the panels are getting cheaper too, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Plus, they're getting more powerful.
Yes.
One of the renewable labs have discovered that there's a technique to produce four electrons for every single photon that comes in. Normally, it's one-to-one. Now they have four times that in some of their experiments.
Richard Hoagland was telling us about a solar coating that they've got out there now they're working on.
Yep, and in fact, Konarka is probably one of the best companies to look at because not only is their solar panel flexible and thin, but it also works on ambient temperature. In other words, thermal heat rather than just light. So, yeah, we've got a great future in solar that really the government can help amplify and really ramp up in terms of production. If an energy czar was future-focused in making the transition from where we used to be in the 19th century to the 20th century, and now we're really in the 21st century, which, you know, as a kid, I always believed we'd be flying around in anti-gravity hovercraft and flying out in space.
And, the Jetsons, they're here,
exactly.
Right?
You know, you hear many movie stars talk about that. I heard about David Letterman, and I agree, because I'm a baby boomer as well, and yet the future has not arrived for us. And we feel slighted. And, of course, we know who to blame, but it still doesn't make it any better. But to tell you the truth, we're really making progress in what looks like not only a future energy that is fuel-free, fossil fuel-free, but also electrotherapy that revives what was known 100 years ago, due to Tesla's technology. And I think we're going to see a very nice blending of that, so that, for example, even when we help foreign countries like Africa and India and other places, instead of sending pharmaceuticals every month to keep their treatment center going, all you need is a few electrotherapy devices installed once, and as long as they have a solar panel to power it, they've got therapy treatments for years to come. I mean, biocharger.net is a good website to go to. They have their AIDS study right on the homepage. I know Jim Girard, the inventor, and many other Tesla-type devices that have high voltage and noble gas tubes that were invented 100 years ago have copied the Jim Girard biocharger. And the therapy results are very, very promising, very noticeable. And studies have proven them.
What do you think the best gift is that Tesla gave us?
Well, it has to be the AC. Alternating current is the best gift he gave us. And when he tore up the check that Westinghouse and tore up the agreement that Westinghouse gave him, it was really a guarantee that Westinghouse would continue with the generators and motors that Tesla designed. I mean, there's dozens of patents that Tesla developed, and yet the amount of money he got was so small. I've forgotten how much it was.
We are lucky we got him, though, aren't we?
Absolutely. Our society would never be the same if Edison had his way. We'd still be in the dark ages. And electricity and lights, see, the fact we take indoor lighting for granted now is due to Tesla. Because without AC, we'd be still trying to power it from DC on our local neighborhood generator, because it's not going to go over a couple miles. I mean, I lived in Buffalo, New York, and Buffalo was the first city in the world to get electricity from 25 miles away back in 1895.
And that must have seemed incredible at the time.
Well, not only was it incredible, but do you believe that the mayor of Buffalo and decided to turn the switch on after midnight because he didn't think it was going to work?
I love it.
That's a true story.
Was he surprised?
Absolutely. Yep.
Tom, tell me a little bit about your personal work. What do you do here? What are you working on next?
Well, the bioelectromagnetic area to me is a fascinating area. I've invented a couple different Tesla coils in a box style therapy units. Our Premier Junior is a favorite because it's only a few $100s. But it's the kind of thing that you can use on a daily basis, or if you have a momentary ailment or pain or something. And anecdotally, this is the kind of thing people tell you. And it's fun to see that, for example, one of the things I say in my bioelectromagnetic healing book, and I tell in every lecture I've given, is that electrons are antioxidants. And I paused to let that sink in, because most people don't even know it. You know, you can be feeding free radicals all the time when you take a shower, and this is literally what people do, letting chlorine bathe on their body. And yet if you look in the organic textbooks, which I have, it says that chlorine Cl2 will disassociate at body temperatures. And so you've got a chlorine ion that's going to replicate 10,000 times. Just that one ion. And, of course, lots of them are coming out of the faucet from your local water company.
Or in our swimming pools and whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a shower filter is a very important thing to have an anti-aging effect. And, see, that's the benefit of it. If you get into taking antioxidants by pills, or if you use electrotherapy to get the electrons directly, either way, it's an anti-aging effect. Also, it boosts the transmembrane potential of every cell. Our cells right now are used to having 100,000 volts per centimeter across the cell membrane, or 1,000,000 volts per meter. That's the same electric gradient that the body isn't naturally used to.
Well, let's talk about the bioelectric magnetic healing principles when we come back with Dr. Thomas Vallone. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. Absolutely fascinating information with Dr. Thomas Vallone. Up next, there are many bioelectric magnetic devices reemerging in the 21st century based on high-voltage Tesla coils that apparently bring beneficial health improvements to humans. We'll talk with Dr. Tom about this next on Coast to Coast AM. Tom, bioelectromagnetic healing, very important. I've been a long-term believer in this. Give me an overall view, first of all. What is electromagnetic medicine?
Electromagnetic medicine is the use of electrical devices to affect healing in the body, and specifically to transfer electrons and magnetic fields right into the tissue. And in my book, I have graphs and charts and analysis to show how much it penetrates. Magnetic fields, for example, penetrate throughout the entire body, whereas electric fields will tend to penetrate through maybe the skin area and can go a little bit deeper if you have high voltage. But there's lots of ways to do it. You can have static fields. There are people that like static magnets, just permanent magnets, and magnetic therapy is very popular. That's a form of electromagnetic therapy. And, of course, you can also have alternating magnetic fields. Some people ask about the power line magnetic field. Well, that's how I got started. Back in 1987, there was a power line magnetic field study in New York State. And so I developed a meter to measure those magnetic fields. In fact, Integrity Design Company actually still carries those products. And the interesting thing is the bottom line to those questions about the fear of effects of it and the interest in the benefits is simple. It's like if you take too much of a good thing, you can have a negative reaction. Too much selenium, zinc, vitamin A can have a toxic effect, but in small quantities, it's very beneficial. So with all these therapies, even though we're talking high voltage and various frequencies, there's the bottom line is that for short-term effect, short-term exposure, it actually does stimulate the body in many beneficial ways, including the immune system.
You know, we've always heard that buzzing if you walk under a huge power line. You know, you hear that hum sound.
Right.
That can't be too healthy for you.
Well, for short-term, it is. It actually does stimulate the currents in the body and gets the cells to actually exchange calcium and nutrients across the cell membrane. It's literally causing them and opening the pores of the cell membranes. But see, if it's chronic, I used to do surveys of homes, and every so often you see the main power line to the home actually going through the bedroom area and outside of the wall of places where people sleep. And then they're exposed to it 8 hours a day, which is getting into the chronic exposure area. But there are levels of exposure, and what's nice about electrotherapy is that it's designed very carefully to meet FDA standards. I know several companies that are now applying for FDA approval for example, a high-voltage device. In fact, I think the Vibe machine is now applying for it, and other companies have as well. So the FDA is coming around to the fact that when it's designed safely, you can actually use it for 5 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and go away for several days and notice after effects that are very helpful.
Do you remember the work of Willem Reich?
Yes, Reich is actually even more popular in this area. But Reich is controversial, and I certainly can compare both of them if you like.
Well, one was into the orgon?
That's Reich. Yeah,
okay. Reich. Okay. And the other one was into machinery, wasn't he?
Yeah, Royal Raymond Reich was developing and did develop the ability of using high voltage, but also with a gas tube. He worked with ultraviolet to kill bacteria and viruses in the body. But it combined the light and the electricity together, electromagnetic fields with light exposure of noble gases. And Reich's machines are still popular today for that reason. And Reich's story, actually there's a company that sells the DVDs describing Reich's life. And it's a very sad type of story, because it was a controversial confrontation between the FDA, the AMA, and of course Reich was curing cancer left and right. He even had a university doctor who actually used his machine to actually treat cancer patients, and then wrote books about it. So this became a real problem for those who wanted to see pharmaceuticals become very popular.
See, that's what I was going to say, Tom. They get these people with technology, assuming it works, they get squeezed out by the big guys, don't they?
Absolutely. And that's why the lawyers and various marketers have to be very careful to protect the product, to know how to distribute it properly, and to get the common people interested in it so it's affordable as well.
Did Edgar Cayce ever talk about electromagnetic healing?
I can't say that he did. I'm not sure.
What is radionics?
Oh, well, radionics is another branch, I would say, the spinoff area. And actually, the U.S. Psychotronics Association is probably the most visible area that promotes radionics and still has annual conferences dealing with it. Psychotronics.org is the website for that. But radionics is not associated with electromagnetics, but it's a device that uses what I could call a simulated circuit. That's adjustable by the user, but it's operator-dependent, and it's really designed to amplify your intention. So it gets into that area of psychic healing and spiritual healing. That it's very interesting when you find an operator that really knows how to use it, because they can analyze and they can treat, and, of course, they've had FDA conversations for decades, too. But it luckily has become a little bit less, as long as they have lots of disclaimers.
All right, this information based on the Tesla coils. Tell us, how does it work? What happens to the body?
Well, specifically when you're sitting next to a high-voltage Tesla coil, it's 100,000 volts or higher. And that's the way they're designed to be treated. Within a few feet of the Tesla coil, you basically are bathed in the plasma flow of electrons. And you're also... I have to cite Tesla in the fact that Tesla described human tissue as being like condensers. And condensers are the old word for capacitors. So he recognized that the tissue behaved as if it could store charge. Electrons have some place to park itself within the human body. And that's exactly what happens near high voltage. The human tissues get charged up. The transmembrane potential, as I mentioned, likes to see 1,000,000 volts per meter across its membrane. Well, if you have a disease or a health challenge, it's going to start lowering, because electric gradients and chemical gradients are the only two ways that the body stores energy. And that's right from the biophysics textbook. So when you're exposed to the high voltage, you come away feeling energized. That's, I would say, the first subjective common experience. And I even designed a chair that has a high-voltage device underneath it, and then it's connected to the seat and the hands. And I called it an electric chair.
I was going to say.
But the people convinced me, no, it can't. You have to change the name, so we call it an energy chair. And I debuted it at the Whole Person Healing Conference a couple years ago and had people sitting on it and really remarking how surprisingly well it worked, because you contact it through a very insulating static mat material, but you're also getting the high voltage potential charging up the whole body. And you can light a neon light bulb with your hand. It's the proof that it's working, just like Tesla did.
Well, but like an electric chair, Tom, if you get too much power, too much voltage, it can kill you.
And too much current.
Well, yeah, really you think of the movie The Red Mile. I mean, the Green Mile,
right?
And that one scene I'll always remember where they didn't put the wet sponge on his head; it was a dry sponge.
Oh, that was
the guy. I'm not going to get into the graphic of it,
details.
But too much power is not a good thing, right?
Well, that's like the joke they tell about lasers. You've heard it, right? The laser device is the same thing that tanks use to destroy machinery and enemies, and dentists use, and eye doctors use to treat the eye. But of course, the eye doctor has to remember to change the controls from tank to eyeball.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he better. See, now you're going to scare the heck out of everybody going to see their ophthalmologist tomorrow.
They have both sides of the fence on every one of these devices.
All right, this bombardment of photons and electrons into the biological tissue, how quickly does it work?
Well, the interesting thing is, and this is really from a lot of the top doctors in the field, just light exposure And that's in my book, Bioelectromagnetic Healing, a whole chapter just on light exposure and the benefits of light therapy. The skin of the body loves to absorb light. And the reason is that the DNA gets charged up by light. And people don't know that if you take a sun bath for 15 minutes once a week or even once a month, you're doing your entire immune system a huge favor.
Right.
Because the body itself, every cell, every DNA in the cell nucleus, wants to send out and does send out what are called biophotons.
Yeah, too much sun is not a good thing.
Exactly. There's a good comparison of what we're talking about. So the small exposure, less than an hour for a day or something, once a week, is really what all your immune system needs. But see, a lot of us live in the dark, you know, inside buildings all the time. And especially if you live in a condo or high rise, you know, it's hard to get outside to get sun and take your shirt off, for example, or your whatever else. And of course, the more exposure you get, the better, because the skin tissue needs that. And of course, the ultraviolet kills the germs on the contact. It builds vitamin D in the body, strengthens your bones. But what I cite in the book is the fact that biophotons are the body's instant communication system.
And why do people look healthier with suntans?
Well, the melanin is activated. You've got a whole host of benefits from exposure to light. So these advanced devices like the biocharger I was describing and the Vibe machine and others really use the combination of noble gas bulbs to get various frequencies that are very specific and the high voltage to accentuate the penetration of the electrons. And so it's a synergistic effect between them.
Let's talk about magnetics for a moment. People can buy magnets at a drugstore now, and you wear them like you would a Band-Aid.
Right.
Do those little tiny things work?
Oh, absolutely. I can't say, you know, specifically the areas, because I'm not a doctor and I don't make health claims. I have to disclaim that. But anecdotally, you find plenty of people that swear by them, sports authorities and so forth. And the bottom line, if people are looking for a scientific reason, one of the simplest ones is that we can connect to the flow of blood, for example, as an electrofluid in the body. And so when you put a magnet near it, it's going to affect and move the flow of electrons and electrolytes throughout the body. So there's a physical reason why magnets should have an effect. If you remember the book Body Electric,
Body Electric,
by
yes.
Dr. Robert Becker. I heard a wonderful doctor say this one book was the best contribution to starting the field of bioelectromagnetics. Robert Becker did us a great service, because in that book he has so many seminal experiments that he performed that even today a lot of us refer back to that for the information it contains. But he describes the fact that a strong magnet, near a nerve, can actually anesthetize a person, because it would diffuse or deflect the neuron pulses.
What about side effects?
Well, from a static magnet, it's hard to say, because not enough studies have been done. But the Nikon company, for example, I know they have lots of studies they cite, and I haven't followed the static magnetic field and the static electric field research that much, because it turns out, and the studies are in my book, Bioelectromagnetic Healing, because when you pulse it in either of those fields, you get 10 times the benefit. See, the body will tend to acclimate to any type of continuous exposure. It'll build its defenses to try to maintain homeostasis. But if you have a very short pulse or a very rapid changing pulse, then you've got something the body can't adapt to, and therefore the energy gets in. And what? I've got a wonderful story to prove it.
I was just going to ask you. Give me a great story with this.
Okay. Dr. Glenn Gordon, an elderly doctor in his 70s, was one of our speakers just at the last Conference on Future Energy. And his DVD is available. This was just in 2006. So, and his company, it's em-probe.com. And the reason I promote it is that this is a doctor who is scheduled for a heart transplant. I mean, can you imagine a medical doctor with the ultimate insult that he's got to go under the knife himself?
Yeah.
Well, that was happens. His state. He had chronic congestive heart failure. And he knew the whole history of bioelectromagnetics. So he decided that he wanted to do something about it himself. And so he recognized just what I was talking about, the pulsed electromagnetic field, very beneficial. And he now has been writing articles to describe all these details. But put a long story short, what does he do? He designs a small handheld device that fits in his shirt pocket. And the M-probe that he designed was either battery-powered or whatever, but it put out what he calls the fastest nanosecond pulse in the business. And even had a NASA fellow help him with the design, and NASA actually has a study that shows the benefits of nanosecond pulsing. So what happened was his heart started to get better. He was moving fluids with the changing magnetic field. And that's exactly what you expect with an electrolyte exposure to a magnetic field. And he was able to walk a few feet, 10 feet, 100 feet. He finally was able to run and at a jogging pace. And then he decided to bike. And he started biking so much distance, he said, I'm going to bike across country. And this, to me, was amazing, but he stopped at radio stations and TV stations along the way to tell the story. And so he biked across country. And now he lived to tell about it because he cured himself and he never needed the heart transplant.
Would you use this yourself?
Oh, we do. We even sell it. And it's only a few hundred dollars. That's the interesting thing is he designed it cheaply, you know, inexpensively, and he's got his own testimonial to prove that it works. And he's publishing journal articles now in major medical journals to explain why the body's tissue and biological terminology is actually, you know, an electrical device that we're working with.
Are we going to get a National Institute of Health or Health Institute study on this at all?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because actually I followed the National Foundation for Alternative Medicine for years now, and they've changed directors many times, executive directors, but it was founded by a congressman. And they are the ones, the National Foundation for Alternative Medicine, NFAM, called NFAM.org. They actually do promote studies, but see, over the years, they've had to do them overseas. Because where can you get an electrotherapy device tested and not have problems with whatever place is doing the testing? but overseas, they've had no problems at all, and the studies have gone on consistently for years. So any device they get, they're able to normally arrange for studies to be done.
Well, you know, I've been a longtime believer in its ability. I just never really understood how it worked. And, you know, it works. You know, it also tells me, not to get too biblical here, but, you know, when Jesus would use, I guess, light and electromagnetic pulses around his body, he'd heal people.
That's a good point. And,
yep.
And even you can go one step further and describe the radiance that saints supposedly have. Well, it can be explained through biophoton radiation.
No, absolutely.
Very, very possible because we already do radiate in infrared and getting into the visible because you can visibly see a person. So, yeah, the cells react that way too.
All right, Tom, we're going to take phone calls next with you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.